Good morning and welcome to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimak. Today is Monday and I hope you're ready to get started because we not only have a great show for you today, we've got a great series of shows all week. So we'll talk more about that after we pray. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Father, we give you thanks for bringing us to the beginning of a new day. We thank you for the many blessings in our lives. As we stand on the verge of heading into the Advent season, Father, we ask you to help us to get ready, to get ready. Father, we ask you to bless us, bless our families, bless those we encounter today. Help us to be able to show your love to everyone we meet. Help us to see you in every situation. We ask you to speak through us at the station today so that your words can go forth from our lips. And we ask you to open our minds and our hearts to be receptive of the message that you have for us. And we ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, I hope you're doing well today. As I mentioned, I am Gary Zimak. This is Spirit in the Morning, the Delaware Valley's only local Catholic morning show, I might add. We've got a great show for you today. We're going to be joined by author Diane Hodek. She wrote a book called The Peace of Christmas, Quiet Reflections from Pope Francis. Also, our friend Father Jim Sitchko will join us from Las Vegas today. He's leading a parish mission out there, and he said, no, I don't want the month off, but I want you to wake me up. So we're going to see how Father Jim is this morning. And by my side, as usual, Mr. Dave Parker.
Good morning, Gary. How are you?
Doing great, my friend. How are you?
Great. How was your Thanksgiving?
It was wonderful. Good. And before we talk Thanksgiving, yes, Let's introduce Frank Eliason.
Good morning.
Hello, Frank.
I made it.
You made it. Yes, you did.
Frank was early today.
Walk in, everybody sitting in the studio. It was funny.
My ears are ringing.
All right, let's get right to
your
it,
ears
Frank.
Should be ringing.
I need to get a report.
Uh-oh.
You deep fried your turkey for the first time this Thanksgiving.
First time deep frying a turkey, and you know we had a few false starts with cooking it. So I learning how to use a new device. I made the wrong setting choices.
Okay.
Not once, mm-hmm, not twice. I guess twice.
Well,
I really didn't. You know, it didn't hit. It wasn't preheating.
Oh, okay.
And so it has to preheat. Takes a while to preheat.
Take notes, Barb.
Yeah. So dinner I was hoping to have at 5.
Mm-hmm.
My real personal goal was 4:30. But it didn't quite work. And then everybody's like, "Oh, great, we're going to be eating at like 8 o'clock at night." But there's a big difference with a turkey fryer.
Yeah.
It was ready in 80 minutes. So we did have dinner at 5:30, even after waiting for it to preheat twice for 40 minutes and not have it
mm-hmm
preheat.
Mm-hmm.
We still were eating at 5:30, and the other piece to it was, which was fascinating to me, is you know I take it out of the deep fryer, and everybody's like amazed at how it looks because it looked perfectly, and I did share a picture of it on Facebook.
It sure did look good. Yeah.
And not only that, though, I took it out, and the first thing I did was I checked the internal temperature.
Yeah,
usually a goal around 165, 170 is like mm-hmm usually where you'd want to be. It was actually 190, so it was actually overcooked.
Mm.
You would never know it. It was actually the most moist turkey I've ever had.
Wow.
And everybody absolutely just raved about it and, you know, have asked about doing another turkey frying this year at some point. So
now, is it greasy at all? Or
no,
not,
not at all.
Dave, that's what amazes me, because I've heard mm-hmm this, that they're not greasy from what I understand.
No, I think, you're not breading it. So it's not, when we think of these things, we think fried chicken.
Yeah, right.
Which absorbs the grease.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's on the skin. You leave it, you leave it there to kind of, drip dry, I'll say. And, it works out really, really well.
Yes.
And tasted phenomenal. We still have some leftovers that I think will be made into a turkey pot pie today. But
that's what I'm going to make today.
Are you?
Yeah, when I get home. You're not going to deep fry it, are you?
No. I've already repackaged everything up. Deep fryer's now away.
Yeah. Wow. I was going to say, when do your classes begin?
Frank Eliason,
how to fry
right?
a turkey.
You're headed down the deep fryer
that, yes,
road
we are.
Soon?
We are. Yes.
After doing it, highly recommend it. Mm. The instructions in the manual weren't the easiest to understand.
Oh, okay.
Like what I was doing was following, it says, here's the instructions for doing a turkey. So I followed step by step by step by step.
Yep.
it didn't have one little line in there, look for this H to show up somewhere on the thing. So even though it said it was turned
on,
it didn't heat.
Yeah.
But you know what? It worked out really well. I would recommend it to anybody. You know, we use the Butterball XXL, which is, you can put right on your counter and works out really well. Not only that, thanks to Janet, so those who listen to Word of God and the Sunday readings, this was Janet saying, I've been doing this for years. This is the best way I've ever done it. But not only that, you put in some Creole seasoning into it. It really just outstanding.
Yeah.
Wow. So I was injecting it. I have a big needle.
But if anybody could pull that off, Frank, that's you.
Yeah, you know? I agree. Now, did you have a backup plan in case this didn't work?
All right, I actually did.
Okay.
I had a chicken
breast. He's a smart man.
I know he is. I know he is.
Come on.
I had a chicken breast, right. So I cooked that as well, and I think that went home with some of our guests.
Okay.
So I don't know whatever happened to the chicken breast. But turkey breast.
Yeah.
So I got a turkey breast, which I've done traditionally, actually, for those that do smaller meals. Wegmans has a really great honey brine turkey breast, and I've done that a number of times for smaller Thanksgivings.
Well, thank you for listening to the Frank Eliason How to Cook.
Yeah, now I'm really hungry. I need to.
Yeah. We'll see you, folks. We're going to put it on autopilot. Go eat.
Dave, your Thanksgiving. I saw some
beautiful
pictures on Facebook.
Oh, it was
like
beautiful.
You had a nice time.
Yes, beautiful, wonderful. Had both my sons, their families over.
Nice.
And Eugene, my son Michael's wife's parents were over. Hannah and Jung, Kim, and it was great. It was so great.
That's the best part about these holidays.
Yeah.
Time with family.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Kids were running around. Even
if you drive each other nuts a little bit, the fact that you don't have these opportunities to be together like that is like extraordinarily special.
Yeah.
That's really what family is about.
Exactly. Exactly.
We're so blessed in this country.
Yeah, we are.
You know,
we're
so blessed.
We are. So it was a great weekend for all of us. I had a great Thanksgiving day at my sister's house, and yesterday was my 23rd wedding anniversary.
Yes. Happy anniversary.
It was nice.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you. 23 years. I don't know where the time went.
What was she thinking?
I know. I know.
God bless you, Eileen.
I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what. Talk about marrying up. I really did that.
Yeah.
You know, I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I'm glad. I don't know. I don't know what say, but sweetheart, if you're listening, you are a great blessing to me. You really are. But
our prayers, Eileen.
Yeah.
You know, she needs it. That's funny. When we were down at the EWTN radio conference a few weeks ago, I had my family there. We got to meet Jack Williams, the GM of EWTN radio. And I introduced my wife, Eileen, to Jack, and Jack's first words to her was, my condolences. So, you know,
Wow, word spreads in the whole
country. I know.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's rumors that we had a football game yesterday.
What was that about?
Hey, you know, Frank,
we won.
I don't think you were here on the day that you were not here on Wednesday. You're getting ready for Thanksgiving. But I said to Dave, we're going to win this one.
Yeah.
I felt a little overconfident, but man, this team is for real.
It is. And, you know, I actually missed the game because our TV broke. I went to get another TV and wound up not a weekend to go out shopping. But listening to the game.
You're brave, brother.
Listening to the game was certainly, they're just an impressive team. And, a lot of people say, oh, it's Chicago. They're having a lousy year. They're an NFL team.
Yeah.
You know, if you look at the NFL, their games this year, they have not lost like that. They're a true NFL team, yet we're walking through some of these teams like they're nothing. It's completely incredible. Wentz is just playing out of his mind this year.
Yeah, it's a fun year. So
and the rest of the boys. Yeah.
Just enjoy the ride. You know, it's harder for me to look at this team and say, okay, when are they going to fall apart? Because, you know, even as a lifelong
Philadelphia
fan, I know.
That's Philadelphia. That's what we do.
It doesn't appear to be happening, so just enjoy it.
Enjoy
that's
it.
Right. Let's do the weather and then the gospel. Today, right now at the Philadelphia International Airport, 41 degrees under mostly cloudy skies. Today, sunny, high near 54. Tonight, mostly clear with a low around 36. Tuesday, we'll have sunny skies with a high near 57. At the present time in West Grove, it is 41. In Plumsteadville, it's 35. And in Newtown, it is 39 degrees.
Wow.
All right, now let's look at today's gospel. It's a bit of a short one. It comes from Luke chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. When Jesus looked up, he saw some wealthy people putting their offerings into the treasury, and he noticed a poor widow putting in two small coins. He said, I tell you truly, this poor widow put in more than all the rest, for those others have made offerings from their surplus wealth, but she from her poverty has offered her whole livelihood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, guys, I don't know what to add to that. It's a clear message from Jesus. Mm-hmm. When we give, are we giving from our surplus, or is it hurting a little bit? Now, the mm-hmm. Lord certainly doesn't want us to give us our to give our rent money away or our food money away, but is it hurting a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
And I think as we go into Advent, that's a good thing to think about.
It is, it is. And you know, and the other thing, you know, so today's Cyber Monday, tomorrow's Giving Tuesday.
Ah, good point.
You know, so what a timely time to have that, that is the gospel. Mm-hmm. You know, if, find the charities that are right for you. There are charities that are tremendous, and we're going to do some specials, things each hour, if I can get to it today, tomorrow, about different charities in the mm-hmm. area that are really good. You know, but you know, find those things, because you know it is needed out there, and there's people that will do better with that money than we will do ourselves.
Exactly. Yes. Yes. Our job, if you will, is to supply that whatever we can from our you know, not surplus.
Well, the other day I was for whatever reason I started thinking about Thanksgiving. I was food shopping, thinking a lot about the poor and the people that aren't getting those meals, and like, you know, I was regretting not inviting some people over for dinner or doing something along those lines. But then as soon as I got home, I got, you know, a letter from the Trenton Area Soup Kitchen. Literally, and it cost them $500 a day to feed a lot of people. So they spread it out really well. So what did I do? Gave them $500. Felt inspired about it. You know, these are the things that go on in our life, and it's around us, whether it be Catholic charities or secular charities that really work to what we're about. You can find them out there.
Yeah, and especially during this time of year, you're gonna see a lot more notifications of charities that do need the money. And
you know, it's easy to get caught up on all the sales and everything else.
It is.
You know, get caught up on that.
I was gonna say, look at the gospel yesterday as well.
It's a tough message, but something we have to remember. When we come back, we're gonna be talking about the peace of Christmas. Stay tuned.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for November 27th. Today, we celebrate Saint Francesco Antonio Fasani. Born in Lucera, Italy, in 1681, he was ordained a conventual Franciscan priest in 1705. For a time, he taught philosophy to younger members of his community. He later served as provincial, novice master, and finally as pastor in his hometown. Francesco's skills as a preacher and confessor drew people to him. One who heard his preaching noted that he spoke in a popular, familiar way that stirred his listeners and revealed his deep love of God and neighbor. He was also known for his devotion to the poor and did not hesitate to appeal on their behalf to benefactors who could help. In 1742, children in Lucera announced his passing with cries of, "The saint is dead! The saint is dead!" During his homily at Francesca's canonization in 1986, Pope John Paul II stated that in the final analysis, human holiness is decided by love. Francesco, the Holy Father said, made the love taught us by Christ the fundamental characteristic of his existence, the basic criterion of his thought and activity, the supreme summit of his aspirations. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is provided in part by Summers and Zims. Summers and Zims provides quality service in plumbing, heating, and air conditioning and refrigeration. They are proud to serve Westchester, Exton, Downingtown, Coatesville, and Kennett Square. They also serve southern and eastern Lancaster County. Summers and Zims telephone number is 610-593-5129, and their website is sumzim.com.
No matter the weather, you're always listening in the sun. It's a great day with Gary Zimak on Spirit in the Morning.
One, two, see.
And welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. That was All the People Said Amen by Matt Maher. I'm Gary Zimak. The time right now is 7:18. Thanks for joining us on this Monday morning after the Thanksgiving holiday weekend. So hope you're doing well. Hope you're wide awake. And if not, we're going to do our best to help you become wide awake. Well, as you know, or as you may not know, depending, Advent is less than a week away. Advent begins on Sunday. Are you ready? And, you know, I'm not saying this to panic you. I'm saying it to help you to get prepared. Advent is a season of preparation. We do want to get prepared. We are going to be joined now by the author of the new book from Franciscan Media, The Peace of Christmas, Quiet Reflections from Pope Francis. Diane Hodak joins us now. She's been on the show before. She's going to share some thoughts on how we can find peace during the Advent and Christmas season. Hey, Diane, good morning.
Good morning, Gary. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks for coming on the show to talk about this this new book. I love the book, Diane, and I read it over the weekend and really found so much good information in there, Diane. Let me ask you a question. What makes this book different than other Advent devotional books?
Well, most Advent books, including I've written a couple myself.
Yeah.
And the tendency is to say, okay, it's Advent, it's the liturgical season, let's start with the lectionary readings and work, you know, and work from there and take, you know, and that is certainly a perfect way to celebrate Advent.
Right.
But what I wanted to do with this book was to reach out to the people who might not be in that, you know, daily mass lectionary reading mode.
Mm.
But they still, there's something about Advent and Christmas that they love. Certainly Pope Francis has reached out to so many people kind of, you know, outside the doors of the church. And that was really kind of who I had in mind when I started working with this book. There's something about the Christmas season, the Christmas traditions, that I think sometimes we almost end up making people feel guilty if they're doing the normal social secular things for Christmas. They're out shopping, they're buying presents, they're decorating their house. And then sometimes we come along and we're like, no, it's Advent. You need to be reflective. You need to be
right.
peaceful. You
know? Right.
You need to pull back from all of that. And they're like, but my kids want stuff.
That's so true. That's such a good point. But so how do we do that,
Diane?
What
I wanted to do was kind of start with the reality. And
yeah.
Pope Francis has so many good things to say about Christmas. When you go through his homilies and the different talks that he gives during the season. And the other thing that happens with Advent is we spend so much time on Advent that there's kind of nothing left by the time you get to Christmas.
Interesting. Yeah, so Diane, if you could, take us through the book. The book is an easy-to-read book. It's about 120 pages. How do you mix your reflections in with the reflections of Pope Francis?
Well, one of the things I wanted to do was it's not dated in any way.
Right.
It's daily reflections, but you don't have to do them every day. You don't have to do them in order.
Okay.
And I started with just a passage from something that Pope Francis said about the season, about some of the themes of the season, and that section is just called A Quiet Reflection from Pope Francis.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've got a section called A Christmas Reality. And that sort of takes the same topic, but it starts with where people are finding themselves in their own lives. I really wanted to hit people, with what they experience every day. And then the third section in each reflection is called Your Christmas Gift Today.
Right.
And what I wanted to do there was give them some kind of a concrete, either an activity or something to sort of bring that message home and to kind of stay with it during the day. And I really wanted each of these to be like just some kind of a little gift. There's one where I say, cross something off your to-do list and write in God instead. Because I know for myself, but especially watching my family and friends, they get so frenzied, and I just want to say, just pull back. You don't have to do, you don't have to decorate your house within an inch of its life.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to bake 50 kinds of Christmas cookies just because that's what you've always done.
Right.
I especially doubt when my mom was getting older. She would say, but I have to do it. Mom,
right.
You don't.
Right.
Right.
So it's tricky to find that balance, I think, that you mentioned that we don't want to just stop doing everything because some of these things that we do are good. So, Diane, how can we find that balance? I guess it's the active versus contemplative. It really is the Martha and Mary story. How do we find that balance in knowing what we should do for Advent and for Christmas to prepare and to also make time for the spiritual aspect, to spend time in prayer? How do we find that balance?
Well, I think part of it is just, like so many other things, it's just a question of looking at your priorities.
Mm-hmm.
And looking at why you're doing what you're doing. And then also just, setting aside a little bit of time to, morning, evening, late at night, in the middle of the day, to just take a couple of deep breaths, maybe do some spiritual reading, pick up the Bible,
mm-hmm.
or say a quick prayer. And I think, obviously the thing that, because this is about Christmas, I didn't really talk about the Advent wreath, but I think some of those things are just you have an Advent wreath on your table. And it's just a constant reminder, oh, yeah, it's Advent. Let me take a step back.
Right, right.
And it's easy for me because I'm single and I live by myself and with my dogs. And so it's easy for me to take lots of quiet time. But sometimes I can offer from that perspective. I can say, hey, it really helps.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the fact that for many people, the Christmas holidays can be challenging. How does this book offer hope to those who maybe struggle with Christmas and the whole holiday season?
What I tried to do is to kind of reach into the scriptures,
mm-hmm.
For the whole, you know, the whole concept of the incarnation of Christ becoming one of us, and all the things that the Holy Family dealt with, all the things that, you know, people down through history have dealt with. And I wanted to remind people, you know, sometimes I think people have this feeling that, oh, everybody's all happy and celebrating this time of year,
yeah.
And I'm not feeling it, and, you know, and there must be something wrong with me, and saying, no, first of all, you're not alone.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of people are experiencing this. And, you know, sometimes you just have to look for the hope and the mercy in the scriptures. You know, and I think you need to just kind of adjust your expectations and say, okay, you know, maybe this year it's not going to be what it was, you know, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, because of things that are happening in your life. And that's okay.
Right, right. Right. One of the things that I enjoyed in the book, well, just let me read briefly one of the reflections from Pope Francis. It's just a sentence here. The God of surprises. The Word of God is living, and therefore it comes and says what it wants to say, not what I expect it to say or what I hope it will say or what I want it to say. I think, Diane, don't you think we struggle with preconceived notions of what God should be saying to us? But if we're really going to experience him during the Christmas and, of course, the Advent season, we should really be open to listening to him.
Right, right. You know, that phrase that Pope Francis uses so often, the God of surprises.
I like that.
I just love that, because I know it's certainly been a reality in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and you find the most unexpected things.
Right. Right, if we let the Lord speak to us and really open ourselves to letting him speak to us. The book is The Peace of Christmas, Quiet Reflections from Pope Francis by Diane Hodek from Franciscan Media. Diane, where's the best place to get a copy of the book?
Probably the best place is just at our online website, which is shop.franciscanmedia.org.
Okay.
It's available It should be available at any local Catholic bookstores.
Mm.
It's certainly available on Amazon.
Okay, very good. Well, Diane Hodek, I want to thank you for waking up this Monday morning to join us on the program. Thank you for helping us to be able to get ready to experience the peace that the Lord wants us to have. Again, that book is The Peace of Christmas, Quiet Reflections from Pope Francis. The book is from Franciscan Media. The author is Diane Hodek. When we come back, our friend Father Jim Sitchko joins us to talk about getting ready for Advent. Stay tuned.
I'm Anna Mitchell with this Holy Spirit Radio News Update. Pope Francis has arrived in Yangon for a visit to encourage tiny Catholic communities in Myanmar and later this week in Bangladesh. He was greeted by local Catholic officials at the airport this afternoon, local time. Thousands of Catholics came from across the country to Yangon, many waving to his car along the road, playing traditional music and wearing attire of their various ethnic groups. The Holy Father will meet separately with Myanmar's civilian leader, Aung San Suu Kyi, its powerful military chief, and Buddhist monks during his stay in Myanmar. Many of the refugees who have been flooding into Bangladesh to escape the Myanmar military say they're hopeful that the Pope's visit will bring peace. The Pope yesterday led a minute of silence in St. Peter's Square for the victims of the deadly attack on a mosque in Egypt. The Holy Father said during his Angelus address that the victims were, quote, praying in that moment, we also pray in silence for them, end quote. The Pope said the attack on Friday brought great pain, adding that he continued to pray for the dead and the wounded and for the whole of that community that has been hit so hard. The Pope previously expressed in a telegram his strong condemnation of the attack, which killed 305 people in the deadliest assault by Islamic extremists in modern Egyptian history. The closure of Bali's airport due to volcanic ash is having a disruptive effect on flights around Indonesia and the region. Bali is a hub airport in Indonesia with many transiting flights for domestic as well as international destinations. Planes that would have flown other routes today are now stuck on the tarmac in Bali. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Anna Mitchell.
I want to tell you today about a very special thrift store located in Downingtown, Pennsylvania. Mary's Thrift Store was dedicated to our Blessed Mother on its opening day, May 13, 2017, the 100th anniversary of the first apparition of Our Lady in Fatima. Mary's Thrift Store is located at the Wedgwood Shopping Center at 4327 West Lincoln Highway in Downingtown, Pennsylvania. All proceeds benefit the St. Joseph's House, a charitable nonprofit in Coatesville, Pennsylvania, whose mission is to serve families and children in need. Come shop in this well-stocked store of quality merchandise that will bless you and your budget from Monday through Saturday from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. And also check out the mission of St. Joseph's House by visiting www.sjhouse.org.
More enjoyable than Scrapple. Spirit. Spirit. Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. That was Britt Nicole with Gold. I'm Gary Zimak. The time is 7:34. Well, we're having some difficulty connecting with Father Jim Sitchko. We're going to keep trying. In the meantime, I want to go over what you can expect for the remainder of the week on Spirit in the Morning. Tomorrow on the show, we're going to be joined by Dr. Alan Schreck, who will continue his discussion of the Holy Spirit. Also, author Gary Mashuda will be here. He wrote a book for Catholic Answers Press. The book is Why Catholic Bibles Are Bigger. Now, that's something that's a common question. In reality, what it is, well, we'll talk about it tomorrow, but the Catholic version of the Old Testament has additional books that the Protestant Bibles don't typically have. So we're going to talk about that. Wednesday on the show, Kathy O'Dell will be here. She has written a book on Father Solanus Casey, who was recently beatified. We're going to find out more about the life of Father Solanus. Kate Wicker will be here as well. Thursday, Catherine Zeltner will be here from EWTN Pro-Life Weekly to talk about the latest pro-life news. Author Mary DeTouris Paust will be here as well to talk about Advent. And then Friday, big day on the show, Jeannie Ewing will be here. She has written a book called From Grief to Grace. She has been here before. And the Catholic hipster, Tommy Ty, will join us, Frank.
Yeah, Carolyn's looking forward to that.
He lives in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
But he said, no problem, I'll wake up to do the program. Great book, The Catholic Hipster Handbook.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. We went over it a week or so ago and, you know, read a piece of it. And it's a really just a fun book. And, you know, I love books that you can take in snippets.
Right.
You know, you don't have to, like, read through or you don't have to even read in order. You can read snippets, which makes it really easy. So, you know, another great week of guests that we'll have going on this week. But while I have everyone, you know, one of the things that we're striving to do tomorrow for Giving Tuesday is be able to highlight some charities.
Yeah.
You know, I have a number of charities in my head that I was going to put through, but I was actually going to invite our guests, our listeners, who are our guests as well. But I was going to invite our listeners, you know, if there's charities that they think should be highlighted tomorrow, you know, email me. I'm going to be putting these spots together later on today, probably this morning. You know, if you have some charities that you think should be highlighted,
right,
email me at frank@holyspiritradio.org. You know, that way we can include them in this montage that will play each hour tomorrow.
That's a great idea because I know myself, especially during this time of year, I'm always looking for charities. And, you know, we've got a limited amount of money to give. And we say, well, who should I give to?
And it's just to inspire people on ways to think about different charities. And, you know, there's, you know, sometimes it's easy to, you know, you have something in mind or something that you're so, you know, I need to give to. But others are not really so sure. What do I want to give to? So one of the things is really thinking about what's in your heart. And, you know, one of the charities we'll highlight will be back with the Bucks County Pro-Life Coalition in honor of Bill Miller.
Bill Miller,
you know, and so you may find a charity that, you know, you want to honor someone with, and you can make a donation that way. It's one of the greatest ways to identify charities. And, of course, Holy Spirit Radio is a charity, but we're not going to be pushing ourselves in that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love what you said about, for example, Bill Miller, who recently passed, and what an icon in the pro-life movement here in Philadelphia and beyond, you know. So, anyways, great idea.
Yeah, so there's a lot of great ways to think through what are the charities I should support.
Exactly. Exactly. In the first segment, you said you donate to like the Trenton Soup Kitchen, it? Or and there's so many helping organizations that need our help.
That's
you know, whatever we can, whether it's like the widow's mite in today's gospel, you know, give from what we not our surplus. I mean, give what you can, and basically that. And if we all pitch in, you know, the Catholic community, and you know, the Christian community. Whomever is listening to us, we can float those boats,
right?
You know, especially I mean because there's a lot of need out there.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. Sometimes we forget that.
And maybe veterans' causes. Right. There's a friend of mine I'm going to reach out to, Rodney Wyatt. I've interviewed him in the past, not on this show, but he's a staunch advocate of taking care of veterans, and not only Bucks County but the surrounding counties. Mm-hmm. So.
All right, well, stay tuned for more information about that for Giving Tuesday. Well, we were unable to get in touch with Father Jim Sitchko. He is traveling. Mm-hmm. He is in Las Vegas leading a parish mission. We knew it was going to be difficult, but we tried to make that connection. We'll have him on again soon. But being the opportunist that I am, I think it's time to do some more Why Do We Say It? One of my favorite features on the program.
Mine too.
All right. So this is where we look at some very popular expressions, some not so popular, and we try to dig into the origin.
Absolutely.
Dave Parker, are you ready for the challenge?
I'm ready for the challenge.
Okay.
How about Frank? Is he playing
Frank's
too?
Frank's playing.
Come
Frank's
on, Frank.
All right. How about this? Easy as ABC. Why do we say something is as easy as ABC?
It harkens back to our childhood, and I don't know. And
you're close. Okay. These are the official answer. Because the school children of early England, given a horn book, I don't know what a horn book is.
I don't either. Maybe one of our listeners knows and would want to call in.
And told to read from it, found the first part of it the easiest, for then they only had to read off the letters of the alphabet. There is no easier reading.
Wow. Yeah, okay.
I think that's a little
lame.
So
I was
on to
something, right?
That's a lame one. We've done better ones.
Yes.
You were.
Okay.
How about easy as pie?
Oh, right after Thanksgiving? Easy as pie. And again, a lot of these, I think, have their origin in, well, very... familial, or maybe home.
In other words,
thing.
You don't know.
I don't know exactly. I'm going to say it's something like it's easy as pie. I could hear my nana say
right,
that.
Right, because the full expression is as easy as eating pie, and eating pie is generally considered to be a pleasant occupation that entails no trouble at all.
That's funny. I would have thought it would be more nuanced than that, like making
I know.
Pie or,
right.
Or
exactly.
Something along those lines.
Again, some of these are lamer than others, I'll be honest. All right, how about carte blanche? We use that expression all the time.
Okay.
How did we come to use the phrase carte blanche to mean complete freedom of choice?
Well, isn't that, paraphrasing a French, carte blanche?
White paper. I mean, stands for white paper
white paper.
French, but how did that phrase come about?
I don't know. Was it to me, I have some kind of connection in my head.
Is
a blank slate or like an early on credit card, carte blanche.
I think you're onto something, Mr. Eliason. It has long been the custom for a man of importance to give a trusted subordinate blank sheets of paper.
Yeah.
Or correspondence cards with his name signed at the bottom, thus giving the subordinate the right to fill in whatever he wished above the signature. Since there's no writing on the paper or card, it's called a white paper or white card in French,
right.
Carte blanche.
Mm. All right. So I knew it was French. And well, that's what Barb does for me when she says, go to the store and get this. But don't spend more than this.
She doesn't give you carte blanche. She says, go get this.
I know. Well,
since this is going so well, I think we should just keep going.
Yeah, go on.
How about cat out of the bag? What is the reason a person who divulges a secret is said to let the cat out of the bag? You know, it's funny. Some of these we use without thinking. And
I was about to say, I dare you to put a cat in a bag and see what happens.
Yeah, see if you can get one. Good luck with that. You're a cat person, Frank. I mean,
I don't think my cats would do well with that. No.
Okay, but where did it come?
I have no clue.
Oh, well, here, I have the answer. And this is easy for me because I have the book.
Okay. I was a negative thought. Like maybe they had all these excess kittens and they wanted to do away with them in the olden days.
Okay, here's what we have. It's because it was once the custom for farmers to bring a pig to market in a bag.
Okay.
Sometimes, however, a farmer would substitute a cat for the pig. I don't know. I can't verify this book. If the townsman was listen to this. If the townsman was foolish enough to buy this pig in a poke without first looking inside, he was cheated out of his money. Mm-hmm. But if someone let the cat out of the bag, the deceit was uncovered.
Wow.
Now, again, I can't verify that these are true stories, but that's pretty interesting.
Those farmers back then, I mean, were they that deceitful? I guess some would.
I don't know. Well, I think we have time for one more, fortunately. Frank's looking at his watch.
Wah, wah.
All right, how about this one? How about the phrase, count your chickens? Where does the expression count your chickens before they're hatched come from?
Well, I mean, again, something from the old farming communities. We are an agriculturally based in our origins, so I don't really know specifically, but maybe they needed to know how many when they took them to market. They were basically saying, I should have this many, X many.
Well, here's what the official answer is. The allusion is to the fable of the market woman who began figuring how much money she would get for her eggs.
Hmm.
Then with this money, she would buy this and that and continue to make a profit. She was still figuring her profits when she accidentally kicked over her basket of eggs and broke them.
Oh.
And couldn't sell them then.
That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Pretty
right.
interesting.
Okay. So, that's actually a great thing to think about, like, you know, with anything. Like, if you're, you know, we do this often where we, you know.
Barbara, tell
counter Dave, chickens before they're hatched. Yeah, exactly. we do right. it all the time. And, like, it's an interesting story. Now, that all being said, I do joke about these segments when we do them and, like, you know, make faces usually in the background. But last time you did this segment, we received emails on that.
Yeah. We did.
And I should have pulled up one of the emails. Like, you know, people gave origins of other things and talked about other things. So, you know, people do enjoy
I know.
Being able to learn these things.
Some little trivia. That's good. I mean, yeah, we're, I guess, an all-purpose kind of show. We'll do things. Yeah, that might interest our listeners.
An all-purpose kind of show, friends.
We'll do things.
that will kind of interest our listeners.
Or might not.
Put that in there. Let's make our own
book. Did you just say we'll do things that will kind of interest our listeners? can you cut that and use that as a snippet to advertise this program?
Well, let me finish that.
Great marketing we're putting out here.
Yeah, off of the traditional Catholic, you know, our theme.
I know.
Yeah, but, sometimes we want a break. We want a little bit of love.
You're right.
We are at the holiday season, though, and, like, you know, one of the things I'll say is you have a lot of family things and stuff like this. This book, Why Do We Say It, might be a fun way for holiday discussions.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Yes. Good idea.
So it is fun.
Yeah.
We do fun things here on the program.
Great save, Frank.
When we come back from break, boy, I bet you guys were never so glad to hear that music.
Oh,
when
really?
We come back from break, it's the Be Not Afraid Bible Boost.
Wipe the sweat off our brows now. Support for Holy Spirit Radio is provided in part by Holly Hill Health Foods, a family-owned business for over 25 years, located at 1200 Welsh Road, North Wales, PA. They offer a large selection of vitamins, minerals, herbs, formulas, and three nutritionists to serve you. Call them at 215-361-7770 or visit their website at www.hollyhillhealth.com.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. Dream, believe, do, repeat. That was the lesson that singer-songwriter Audrey Assad learned from her Syrian refugee father growing up, because that was how he approached life after moving to the United States in 1973 with his two siblings and mother. In an interview with the website Alatea, Audrey recalled, "My father Roy was a sponsored child through a church program in Syria. He has worked tooth and nail to accomplish his dreams and goals. As an immigrant with no college education, he has owned companies ranging from insurance agencies to restaurants. I've watched him dig his hands into every city in which he's lived. He isn't satisfied with simply residing somewhere. He's driven to make it a better place for everyone." This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
You're on Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Even if some notes come out right and some come out wrong.
Great message in that song. That was Switchfoot, Live It Well. We've got one life to live. We might as well live it well. And that's something we want to consider today. I'm Gary Zimek. You are listening to Spirit in the Morning. Feeling a little nervous? Well, relax. It's time for the Be Not Afraid Bible verse. Today we go to 1 John 3:1. See what love the Father has given us that we should be called children of God. And so we are. You know, if you're a little nervous, if you're uncomfortable about something going on today, you're stressed out, think about this. You have been adopted by God the Father. Mm-hmm. How cool is that?
Absolutely.
What a great thought that God is my loving Father.
Mm-hmm.
And that He loves me no matter what I do. He doesn't love me for what I do. He loves me just because He loves me.
Absolutely.
Right?
He loves me for that our last segment, you know.
He loves us in spite of our last segment, Frank. That's amazing, right?
God, that says so much for God.
That's right.
Thank God for Him. Because, never mind.
And His infinite mercy. Oh, please, Lord, no! Please, don't bring your justice.
I got the book again. I got the Why Do We Say It book. I could go. If you guys aren't nice to me, I'm going to go back and do this again. Hey, before we bring this show to a close, and again, we apologize for Father Jim Sitchko and us being unable to contact him, but that's live radio.
It
happens sometimes. We will get him on again soon. But Frank, some more thoughts about the turkey. There was one other thing you wanted to mention.
Yeah, my wife actually texted me to say what her favorite part of the turkey fryer was, and that was it freed up the oven. By having the turkey out of the oven, we had it in a turkey fryer. You know, the oven was free, so it was there to cook, you know, make the
whatever you want,
the biscuits, to warm the stuffing, to
warm the pies,
whatever. Yeah. You know, it was there, and so, you know, that was actually a really great part about having the turkey fryer. So, you know, kudos to Carolyn for pointing that out, because she's right, that actually was a big deal for us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Prior to us moving, we used to have two ovens, and so I was used to you cooking with two ovens, and now we have one, which most people do have,
right?
And, you know, it was like, how do you deal with that? So, but now, you know, it's interesting. Now we get into the leftover piece.
Yeah.
You know, what do you do with all these leftovers?
Eat them. But when?
But you have a plan for the day.
Yes, I do. I have a plan. Later on this afternoon, I'm going to make turkey pot pie.
Well, is that a complicated process?
No. No. I Googled and I came up with multiple, you know, like Betty Crocker, if I may, some of the famous, you know, what are those? Betty Crocker and all those people that do that. Mm-hmm. Gary's watching me. Okay. Yes.
I mean, you're drowning over Betty Crocker. It's kind of funny.
I love Betty Crocker, but I mean, I'm not going
to.
Well, never
he's
mind.
Come up with other names and like he's like drawn a.
Yeah, bike. I thought I knew the second names, but there's a whole host of them. And simple recipes, you know, simple recipes.
You're still thinking.
Is it true, Frank? I mean, I know you know a lot about advertising. Betty Crocker is not a real person. Is that correct? Wasn't she created?
I believe
she's not.
I think you're right. I don't think she's.
You just pricked my bubble. I thought she was real. No, just kidding. She was a here's creation of the advertisers.
I think she was.
So was Aunt Jemima and so many others.
And I believe, and Dave, you can tell me if I'm true about this, that the Pillsbury Doughboy is not real. Is it?
He's not. Anyways, I'm going to make turkey pot pie, folks. And we'll pick up. Oh, Gary, I was going to ask. Well, hey, you know, where did you go for Thanksgiving?
I went to my sister's. Yes.
Yeah. How was that?
It was a great time. We had a great. We didn't have to cook, which is great.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember. I had Eileen on the program last year talking about some of our Thanksgiving Day disasters. We have a variety, but she was so happy to not have to cook. But it was great. My sister did a great job, and it was nice just being with family and relaxing on Thanksgiving.
And I was going to say, when Frank said you had two ovens, I mean, it made me think of the number two. Well, Barb and I, we moved into this house in Fairless Hills a couple years, 29 years ago. Anyways, but the way our kitchen is configured, and before we get to the remake of it, hopefully in the next year or two, we call it a two-butt kitchen, because the previous owner has this counter with a sink. And you know, so I wasn't cooking with my wife Barbara. My son Ryan was, and if I wanted to go get a drink of water, I had to go elsewhere. I had to have a bottle of water because I mean they were just They were busy. They were busy cooking.
Well, if you're ever around people cooking, it is really difficult when other people enter. You know, and I tried to have my girls help out a few times. Yeah. And what happens is it totally misplaces things. Things are no longer where I thought they would be, even if it's completely logical. They were just doing something. So stay out of the kitchen.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, and we have, on the other side of that, we have it's the rest of the kitchen, and it's huge. But, I mean, where the cooking space is. Yeah, so we, you know, in our minds, and we talk about this every time we have a major family event over, like when are we going to, you know, rebuild the kitchen?
So I always find it easier when people stay out of the kitchen when I'm trying to cook something, just because, you know, you have places, you know, I put down like the oven mitts or something stupid like that. I need to know precisely where they are because I need them the moment, you know, and so, you know, it's things like that that become challenging.
I have to wait for the daylight between the activity, you know, between Barb and Ryan, and I had to shoot the gap in football terms, and I just stayed out.
Yeah, we were also talking a little bit during the break about all these leftovers, and like, you know, one of the jokes I saw was like, you know, someone eating pie for eating turkey for breakfast and like, you know, tired of the turkey or whatever, and I was like, wait. Breakfast, that's what pies are for. That's why you have extra pies and you eat them for breakfast for the next few days.
Exactly. Yeah. So we do leftovers well in our house. You know, so how about, and I guess
do you have traditions with your leftovers? Do you like, you know, have the hot gravy over or do you just do the sandwich, the cold sandwich?
Last night we reheated everything. It was like I had another Thanksgiving
meal. You guys
are
killing me. I'm hungry. Right. I need leftovers.
Did you bring any home from your sisters?
Yeah, but we ate them all already.
Okay.
And now you guys are talking about all these nice leftovers.
You'll have to get a Wawa Gobbler.
Oh, I like that.
I do like that, too.
That's a good sandwich. That's a good sandwich.
But, you know, with the pies and stuff like that becomes great breakfast stuff.
Gary, you have something to say here?
It's your show.
Unfortunately, we are just about out of time.
Well, I think it was a great
I think we were out of time about... We were out of material about a half an hour ago. But
anyway, great show.
Thank you for
listening.
The day
after Thanksgiving, folks, the tryptophan is still holding on.
Thank you for listening. Tomorrow on the show, Dr. Alan Schreck and Gary Mashuda will join us. On behalf of Dave Parker and Frank Eliason, I'm Gary Zimak, reminding you, wherever you go today, the Lord is with you. Make sure you say hi. See you next time.
This show is produced with love by Holy Spirit Radio, inspired by the Holy Spirit communicating